Let us pray.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I remember sitting in our living room upstairs getting ready to watch Game 3 of the 1989 World Series between the Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants. The A's won the first two games in Oakland, and now this series was moving across the bay to Candlestick Park in San Francisco. We were rooting for the Giants because our cousin Cal Jorgensen, who lived two doors down from us on 13th Street in Blair, was an avid Giants fan and had been since the days they were in New York. In fact, he also played professional baseball too. As I was watching the pregame stuff, our TV went funny. The screen started flashing, lines appeared on the screen, and then it went all fuzzy, like what TVs used to do in the middle of the night when stations signed off for the evening. My initial 12-year-old reaction was, "You've got to be kidding me. The game is about to begin and the TV goes kaput." I get up and quickly try to figure out what is going on. And yes, this is before remote controls. I change the channels, but surprisingly, the other channels are just fine. I then turn back to the World Series coverage, and I hear the audio on the blank screen with Al Michaels telling the national audience that the Bay Area had just experienced an earthquake. Unfortunately, this earthquake was a doozy. It registered 7.2 on the Richter scale and caused widespread damage. 63 people lost their lives and over 3,700 were injured. One of the images I remember most from that earthquake was the top section of road on the Golden Gate Bridge collapsing down upon the bottom section of road, as well as the cars affected by it. I've never experienced an earthquake and hope I never do, but the ones who have say the ground is literally shaking beneath them. It's hard to keep one's balance. Stuff falls off shelves and out of cabinets. Fixtures swing back and forth and furniture slides. Cracks may form in various places in the house, and everyone tries to get to an entryway as soon as they can. It's scary, unnerving, and unsettling. I have to imagine the earthquake experienced by both Marys, as well as the two Roman soldiers guarding Jesus' tomb, was just as scary, unnerving, and unsettling. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven, rolled back the stone, and sat on it as the earth shook beneath. On top of that, the angel's appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards couldn't handle the experience. They shook and collapsed in shock, becoming like dead men. I have to imagine Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were just as shook by the earthquake below them, as well as the sight in front of them. But the angel of the Lord brings a word of peace and good news to them amidst the chaos. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." A few things to unpack from the angel's visit and testimony to the two Marys. First, the power of God is on full display in the resurrection. You see, the Roman and Jewish authorities did everything, and I mean everything, in their power to protect Jesus' body in the tomb. They sealed the stone tight against its opening and placed guards in front of it 24/7. No human being would have any chance to come and take Jesus' body, just like no human being had any chance of stopping the crucifixion, because power of empire was on full display. But God could. The heavenly realm broke into time and space, and God shook the ground, rolled away the stone, raised Jesus from the dead, and caused earthly powers to collapse to the ground. Nothing, and I mean nothing, was going to stop God and God's power. Not death, not empire, not sin, not anything. Second, even as God displays power, God will bring a word of peace and calm and gather his children to himself as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. This word of peace came to the two Marys through the angel. Do not be afraid. I have to imagine beyond all the dazzling white that the angel's face and demeanor was peaceful and reassuring as both Marys listened to the angel's words. Third, the good news. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Even though Jesus had told his disciples that he would be raised from the dead after 3 days, the disciples were still unsure about the resurrection, especially after his brutal execution. They were scared. They holed themselves up in a locked room. As for Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they went to go visit the tomb, expecting a dead body behind the stone. They wanted to be near their leader and Messiah. They wanted to spend time and honor Jesus at his grave, not much different than when we go visit a cemetery to pay our respects to our loved ones. Grief and shock were palpable for all of Jesus' disciples and followers. But God had other plans. The angel tells the women that what Jesus had said about his resurrection was true. Not only that, but also step into the tomb and see where his body had been laid. There's your proof. And now go tell the disciples and head to Galilee, where Jesus will visit you in his resurrected body. They left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. But on the way, they encountered Jesus himself in the flesh, very much alive. He greets them and reassures them by saying, "Do not be afraid. I am here. Go and tell my disciples, and I will see you in Galilee." Thus, even amidst God's power in earthquake form that shook the ground and rendered empire motionless, God brings good news in an empty tomb and a visit by Jesus himself. As I think about this Easter Sunday for all of us, with God's power, God's peace, and God's good news in our lives, I believe we all, like both Marys, bring fear and joy to this worship space today. The fears are real. General stress, the news we see on TV, heartache, health issues, financial and work stress, relationship struggles with friends and family and maybe church family, as well as any other fears that are gripping us. All those scary, unnerving, and unsettling earthquakes in our lives. We come to this day wondering if the resurrection is true in our lives, beyond just knowing the truth of the resurrection as told in the scriptures, if that makes sense. Because the reality is, many of these struggles in our lives are going to persist as we walk out these doors. Because as we know from the gospel story, The soldiers who were shook to the ground motionless are going to wake up eventually. Empire and earthly powers and the fear they induce are going to rear their ugly heads at any moment in our lives. But the promise of this day is that God's power knows no bounds. It will break into this world, shake the foundations of any power over us, and give us the hope of resurrection, no matter the earthquake we are facing. God's word of peace amidst this chaos is, "Do not be afraid. Come inside and see the empty tomb. Come see where God took all our earthquakes to himself in death. See that it is under my jurisdiction and not the jurisdiction of earthly powers. And go quickly. Go towards the light. Go towards God in all things and witness God working resurrection in your lives and in the lives of others. Trust and pray and hope and believe God will work a resurrection in your life with whatever earthquake you are facing. And on the way, you will encounter the risen Jesus, who also says, "Do not be afraid. I am here with you always to the end of the age." Praise be to Christ Jesus, our resurrected Lord and Savior. Amen.